WTCH, good morning and welcome back to our special programming today, Election 2018, You Decide. Our studio guests this morning include Richard Sarnwick, the challenger, producer Kayla McKenzie, videographer John Kupski, and Chuck Dallas, who will be presenting our candidates with questions.
Thank you, Doug. Today we're talking with candidate Dr. Richard Sarnwick. Richard, we'll have 25 minutes total to answer our main topical questions in the categories of health insurance, education, business, employment, and agriculture, drugs, the environment, and roadways. You'll have 95 seconds per question. After the last question, you'll be informed on whether or not you have additional time to revisit any of your answers. And then we'll open the floor to have you add anything else that you'd like to talk about in your campaign, and a minute for closing statements. So welcome, Richard.
Hello.
I'll read a biography on Dr. Richard Sarnwick. Dr. Sarnwick is a Shawano area physician, a family doctor running for the state assembly. This is his first run for public office. He lives in the Shawano area with his wife, Gail, and his dog, Ruby. He has been in the Shawano area for over 25 years, and during this time, he's worked in the emergency room, has taken care of clinical patients, and still goes to see patients in area nursing homes. He served as chief of the medical staff at the Shawano Medical Center from 2002 to 2004. Richard is a board-certified family practice physician. He is also the founder of the Shawano Farmers Market and served as president of this nonprofit organization for about 10 years. Dr. Sarnwick plays fiddle in a Shawano area music group and is a big believer in the future of Shawano and surrounding communities. So again, welcome, Richard.
Thank you.
First question deals with health insurance. How do we approach health insurance affordability for Wisconsin residents who are small business owners or farmers and cannot get health insurance premium assistance through an employer?
Well, Chuck, you know, I see small farmers and small business owners every day, and their life is getting to be more and more miserable because of the high co-pays and high deductibles. So I have a radical approach for that. I really recommend universal health insurance for all U.S. citizens. The U.S. is the only advanced economy in the world that doesn't provide basic health care for residents. I think we need to move there. I think that day is coming sooner or later, but we've been kicking this can down the road for 20 or 30 years, and sure, things just aren't working. So if you're a small business owner, say you're a young man, young woman, 30 years old, you got two kids, you're already working for a big company, and you have health insurance, you're not going to want to start a small business because of the health care risks. You just can't do it. So I think it really discourages Wisconsin residents from being entrepreneurs. And I think if there was some guarantee that they could have health insurance, we'd see a flourishing of our state economy. That's what I truly believe. I also think it's making small farmers and small farms go away because they just can't afford those health care premiums. So our farms get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what I believe, universal health care for all U.S. citizens.
Okay, good. Next question, how can we further build upon the idea and rule of buying groups for health insurance, meaning similar businesses buying insurance together with the goal of lowering premiums? If this doesn't prove successful, then how can the small business owner provide affordable insurance to their employees, Dick?
We've tried buying groups before. It just didn't work. So if you're saying, is this going to work the second time around? I don't think it's going to work the second time around. I think we need to deal with this problem. I think it'll help the U.S. economy if we provide basic health care for all people. That's what I think. I don't think buying groups is going to be the answer here.
Okay. So, Dick, what do you see as the approach that we can take with insurers and hospitals to move towards affordable health care?
Well, for right, you know, the long-term goal for us should be basic health care for everybody. And that's going to have to happen in steps. I think right now we probably need to take advantage of the money offered for Medicaid expansion to cover people. It's an interim step, but we have to do something to help people out who are lower income earners. So As you know, the state refused to take that money a few years ago under the direction of Scott Walker, but I think we need to do the Medicaid expansion as an interim step.
Okay. Okay. How do we find affordable health care for those with pre-existing conditions?
Well, this is a hot topic right now, and everybody needs to know about it. Scott Walker directed Brad Schimmel to join a lawsuit with 18 other attorneys general in the United States to allow insurance companies to provide that area where pre-existing conditions could eliminate people from the insurance market. So right now, under the directorship of our state governor, they're trying to get pre-existing conditions back into law. So what does that mean in real practical matters? Here's what happened before the Affordable Care Act, and I would see this in my office every week. Somebody who was age 50 to 65 would come in, they'd have their exam, and then they'd apply for health insurance. The insurance companies didn't want to take those higher risk people simply based on their age, 50 to 65, into the insurance market. So if that person had anything such as high blood pressure or high cholesterol, the insurance company would say, you're not eligible, you have a high risk condition. Then my patient, and this is really what happened, they'd come back to me and say, doctor, why did you tell them I was a bad risk? And I'd say, I didn't say, I sent your records, that's what you directed me to do. The insurance company doesn't want you, and they're using that as an excuse. You have a pre-existing condition, maybe just high cholesterol, but because you're getting older, they don't want you. So that is not a good way to go. So that's what happened with pre-existing conditions.
Okay. Can you talk on the cost of prescription drugs and are all pharmacies obligated to disclose to their clients there's a cheaper or generic option?
I have no idea what pharmacies are obligated to do. I just don't know. I do know that there's quite a few generics available now. For instance, if my patient goes to Walmart, there's a lot of generics available at very low cost. There's still a lot of cost issues with pharmaceuticals, but I don't think that pharmacies are obligated to disclose that information, but they are vying for patients. So Walgreens, Walmart, other big pharmacies are trying, as far as I can tell, are trying to keep drug costs down for generics.
Okay, good. Our next topic, Dick, moves on to education. And the first question is, currently, what is the greatest need for our area schools, whether that be technology, safety, or curriculum, and how can you support those needs?
Okay, well, first of all, I think that, our area schools are essentially closed down for 3 months of the year. And if I was a small business owner and I closed my business for 3 months of the year, it just wouldn't be a very viable business. And this is, of course, a relic from farming days when most kids were at home for the summer to help out with the farm work. But we just kind of kept that school day, that school year as it was, 3 months off every summer. So the first thing I think we ought to do is to revamp our school year. And instead of taking 3 months off, the parents are still at work. Those kids are free and loose maybe for three months of the year. I really think we should revamp the school year to keep our schools open all year long and take intermediate vacations scattered through the school year. I think it would help even out the learning process. They say that when kids take those 3 months off for the school year, they lose 25 to 40% of the knowledge of the previous year and the teachers have to start over. So I think we should have an ongoing school year. I think that would help out our educators, that it even things out and make things easier for the parents as well.
Sure. Okay. So next question is, how can you support our area educators and teachers using programs and or incentives?
Well, I think we may need some incentive programs. Teachers in mathematics, technology, and science, they're highly sought after. And I think we probably need to offer incentives here in the Shawano area, Clintonville, and other area communities, financial incentive to attract those talented people in those hardcore study areas so that we attract the teachers and we can educate and train our kids. That's what I think we should do.
Okay. Those that graduate from high school and go on to technical college or college itself rack up quite a bit of student loan debt. So, Dick, what do you see as a solution to the student loan debt?
Well, the student loan crisis is forcing about 1 million people per year to default on their loans. And there are currently 44 million borrowers who owe about $1.5 trillion in student loans. Student loans are now the second largest consumer debt after home mortgages. And on average, a student graduating in 2017 owed about $40,000 in student loans. I would recommend a few things to help out this crisis. First of all, I'd recommend income-driven repayment plans. So if you're making good money, you may pay back your loan at whatever rates are available. But if you're making less money, your loan repayment goes down. It stretches out the repayment of the loan, but it makes it at least possible for people to keep up with their loan repayment. I also think it might be silly to recommend that students get counseling before they take out student loans. If a student is 18 years old and doesn't know what a loan is, I feel the parents probably missed educating their kids about money. Right. And a simple counseling session isn't going to change that. I think teaching kids in high school, maybe having some coursework about the fundamentals of money, the fundamentals of loans, finance systems, how to save money, how to do a checking account, might have an impact if we required that in the high school education curriculum. But frankly, I think kids learn most of what they see about money from their parents, and we might be missing the boat there.
Okay. Good.